went up from Paradise Cove in Malibu right up to Ventura, past the naval base on the Road King. So 4 hours off. But the weather was beautiful, blue sky, and it was just, oh, it was a dream. Absolute dream.
Up the PCH, just, that's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't on Sunday, it was on Thanksgiving. And so I turned all these invitations down to say, look, do you know what? My first real day off, and I just want to go on my bike and just disappear. And obviously, just running all the way alongside the beach like that is amazing.
Fucking good, isn't it? I know. You do often wonder why you come back home, don't you?
Jesus Christ.
Could you live there?
Do you know what? I couldn't really, no. No, I like dipping in, dipping out. We're looking for a house.
Right.
So,
where are you going to look? Malibu or further in town?
Yeah, no, I mean, I love Malibu because you get your value for money there.
Yeah,
and
do.
Not only that, but I mean, Bel Air's nice, but
you
feel
you've escaped a bit as well at Malibu, don't you?
Beautiful. And you've got land.
Loved around there.
Sorry I'm late, mate.
Mate, it's cool. You've got to be out of here, haven't you?
Don't worry. They can work. Yeah, that's fine, don't worry.
Okay.
No big deal.
Well, look, we got some songs. We'll whiz through it, but that's all jolly good. How's your V-Rod, by the way?
Good. Yeah, beautiful.
Is it?
Needs more miles on there, though. No, Christ, I'll
honestly. Well, yeah, where'd you get time?
Bloody nightmare. But
nice to have though when you do.
Yeah, that's beautiful. It's a night rod, you know, the all black one.
Yeah, that's very sexy. That.
Yeah, cool.
That's
cool,
a very sexy looking. Oh, there's orange lines around the wheels.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
very fucking sexy.
That's beautiful.
I love them.
Is there anyone you don't talk bikes to?
Sorry, no.
No, hang on.
No. Vicky
has bikes. Yeah. I didn't talk bikes to Jackie Collins because she hadn't got one.
It's true.
She is a bit of one, but no. Okay.
She's there.
Should we crack on?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Right, we're cracking on.
Put on your headphones.
No, thanks.
I haven't got that list there, by the way. But okay, brilliant.
We got stuff. So that's good.
Okay, brilliant.
We can chat about it. Right then, Sunday night at Magic 105.4, and it's time for what could be quite an explosive indulgence as the beepometer is ready to beep. Gordon Ramsay is in. Hello.
How are you, mate?
You know this is magic, don't you?
Yeah, I know. It's always been magic. My favourite station.
Is it? Oh, I like
constantly
it.
On. And even on my little iPod thing, you know, the one I run with. So, yeah, it's all there. And we do have good days where we don't swear. And today's going to be one of them, I promise.
We have good days. Well, I'm very pleased to hear it. Look, we're going to play a song and then we'll talk more. These are all your choices today. Billy Joel, Uptown Girl.
Yes.
So we'll play it and we'll talk about why as we run through this hour.
Okay, brilliant.
Right, Gordon Ramsay, our guest for an indulgence tonight. And it's interesting, I've been sitting here waiting for you to come in, glancing at, actually you've got two books out at the moment, haven't you? But I was looking at a very glorious, the big coffee table book.
Yes.
Gordon Ramsay, 3-star chef.
Yeah. Yeah, it took 5 years to write, Neil. It was something that, you know, you can't do that in sort of 18 months. So it's all the sort of 3-star recipes. There's only 50 of them. And it's, you know, the kind of thing that you want to sort of glance at. It's like food porn. You know, it's not...
It is.
To be honest, you can't really... Yeah, you can cook from it, but if you've got 25 cooks behind you in the kitchen, maybe. But if you're on your own, trust me, you're going to need 3 days. So it's just a... I don't know, not a trophy. I don't like that word. But it's just a way of showing the attention to detail of what goes into food at that level.
Well, it's art, isn't it, really? Yeah. When you look at the pictures and some of the creations, particularly some of the puddings, they're incredible. The detail is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, every course has to be a highlight. But I always like to finish on a high note with the dessert, and you know, the level of integrity, tempering the chocolate, you know, our kitchens function 24 hours a day, and especially Chelsea, there's only 40 seats, but 25 cooks in the brigade, 25 front of house, operates Monday to Friday, so the attention to detail really is something phenomenal.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't realise it was quite so staffed.
Yeah, 50 staff, 40 seats. and close Saturday, Sunday.
So no wonder the bills are expensive, but it's got to be, isn't it? Because you're getting, you know, 5-star, that's a real experience. Not just food, is it? It's an experience.
No, absolutely, definitely. And, you know, it is one of the cheapest 3-stars in Europe. And you know, I really mean that because, you know, it's something that depends on consistency. It's the same standard Monday night to Friday night. And we've got one brigade. There's no shifts. It's from 8 till 12 every day, Monday to Friday. And, you know, we've got that level of continuity because we've all been together since October 93.
Wow.
That's how solid we are there.
And why no weekends?
Do you know what?
Is that to give everyone a time off?
Yeah, when the bank first said, look, you're mad, you know, it's your busiest night, isn't it, Saturday night? I said, no, not really, no. Monday night's going to be my busiest night. To be honest, I need a rest. Family, Saturday, Sunday. And this job is a very selfish job. You get obsessed and excited and then it can run your life. And by closing Saturday, Sunday, I have an outside life at the kitchen.
Right.
And Tana and the kids are just as important as the restaurant. And it's something that I need to switch off on.
Right.
So being closed Saturday, Sunday is a way of regenerating those batteries. Come in Monday morning, and kick ass.
Oh. Now, let's choose some songs. You have got some good, and I know music plays an important part in your life. You love your music. So Coldplay and Yellow you've got here. Why that one?
Yeah, that's the one that is always... midnight. It's calm, the embankment's, sort of hardly any traffic there, and you're driving home from work, and it puts that little chill down your spine when it's just, Battersea Bridge, driving over that bridge, and just listen to the music. You want to ramp it up a little bit. Indeed. And then I'll come back across the bridge. I'm going to get myself a cup of tea on Chelsea Bridge, because there's like little,
there's that great little
shack.
Yeah.
And all the cabbies hang out in there. So I get myself a bacon sandwich, a cup of tea, and listen to Coldplay.
Bacon sandwiches any good there?
Well, do you know what? They are. Do you know what? Because the bacon gets really crispy because no one goes there. The bacon stays on the grill all day.
Right.
So it gets really nice and crispy without becoming too soggy.
Nice. Because I think my problem is, if I listen to a radio station, I can't listen to it in a normal way because I'm always listening how they're putting it together and doing it. And I would have thought that must be your problem with food.
Yeah.
You can't just eat something or sandwich. Yeah. You're going to look at, are the ingredients good? Is it fresh? Is it well made?
No, but coming out of that 3 Michelin star environment, all you want to do is to go the opposite end of the spectrum and have something basic and simple like a bacon sandwich.
Oh, bacon sandwich and Coldplay. Lovely. Right, Magic 105.4 is it's the indulgence tonight of... I'll do that again. It's Magic 105.4 on Sunday night with Gordon Ramsay talking about his book and life in general. You are so unbelievably busy. I mean, you were talking earlier on about how it was nice to turn off at the weekend and have a bit of time for Tana and the kids. But when do you get time off? It's not just like a restaurant. I mean, do you ever actually... I was thinking about this. Your empire has grown.
Yeah.
TV's grown.
Yeah.
You're global. You know, you and America, you're running backwards and forwards. Do you ever wish, in a way, you just had one restaurant? Like, and simple, like it was when you had Aubergine?
Yeah. No, yeah, I do. You're right. Aubergine, that's where it all started. And it's all, I suppose, puts a chill down my spine every time I drive past it. That's where it will happen. But I suppose when you look at the talent we're creating and what's coming through the doors in terms of young, tenacious, ambitious chefs, then I'm not just saying we expand our business on the back of their talent, but we create those opportunities. So like for Angela Sarge, Mark Askew, Claire Smith, these are exciting talents that the company's grown on the back of their success as well. So I know I was there first, but it's too exciting now. Mm. And, when you think of New York and LA, and the next big opening now is Paris, and God, if you thought it was a tough time in New York, wait till you see what the French are going to do to me. So I like to be under that, I suppose, scrutiny. And when I think that things are running perfectly normal, then I've got to turn it upside down because I don't like it too smooth, too long. Mm. I need to be at the cold face. I need to still feel that level of adrenaline. And I suppose more than anything, Neil, that danger. I'm too relaxed when it's going too well.
Is this going to be the ultimate achievement for you if you have a successful Paris restaurant?
Yeah, I mean,
that's where it all started.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I got my backside kicked in Paris for 3 years. I had the most amazing experience, and it was almost, I became French. I literally, was struggling to speak English on Saturday and Sunday with Mum, and I was becoming, obsessed with what they do, how they do it. And, you'd wake up in the morning and go and have a fresh croissant, a baguette for breakfast, and then, coming home at night, you'd buy another fresh baguette. They buy bread twice a day, fresh. So I was obsessed with the local markets and all the little arrondissements. I had myself the most amazing French girlfriend. She taught me perfectly French, and she took me behind the scenes and off into champagne at the weekends. And, I just had an absolute ball. Mm. So going back there now, 20 years later, to open up a restaurant in Versailles is a dream come true.
Because that could not have been more different, I guess, from your upbringing. You think going from there, going over to Paris and having that kind of life.
Yeah.
The French have always thought of us, these people that love their food and ingredients and cooking.
Yeah.
Are we as good now? Are we, as a nation, obviously not yourself, clearly, and there are other chefs that love the food, but as a nation, are we better now?
Yeah, I think as a nation, we need to complain more. I think we still are too conservative.
Right.
And we're worried about, standing out and being upset when things go wrong in restaurants. The French will tell you there and then. If it's undercooked, overcooked, overseasoned, underseasoned, bland, you name it, they'll send it back there and then. We're too polite as a nation. In terms of where we are in reputation, we can easily count ourselves, on par now with our French counterparts, without a doubt. You look at America, you look what's happening in Barcelona with Spain, and you look what's happening in France. As a nation, we are travelling forward beyond belief, but we are still far too reserved when it comes to eating out.
Right. Well, let's pick another song. You've got Blondie Sunday Girl here, which is a cracking tune. Why?
Yes. That was my first ever poster. And it was, on my bedroom wall next to Kevin Keegan. And talk about night and day.
Yeah, exactly.
Keegan, because he was playing for Liverpool, and Kenny Dalglish, and all my heroes were there. And of course, I just perforated my spleen. I got punched in the stomach playing football. And I remember coming home from hospital and just seeing Debbie Harry. And all the pains from the operation had gone. And I was just sat sort of in the corner of my bedroom, staring at Debbie Harry, thinking, God, what would it be like to date her?
Do you still think that thought?
No, funny enough.
As you, she's changed a bit, hasn't she?
I'll say, yeah, she's somewhat got slightly scarier. Yeah. And she looks like something out of Halloween now. But it was a nice thought at the time, being 15 years of age. And it was almost, I don't know why, but it was like the sort of, you know, the perfect blonde, you know, from a 15-year-old spotty, footballing, obsessed guy. It was, you know, it was a dream.
Yeah. Right, let's play it. Sunday Girl. Actually, leave it as a tree. That's a nice out there.
You just read that line there so I've got the same.
Right. Gordon Ramsay is our guest on Indulgence tonight, and we'll be hearing more from him in just a moment on Magic 105.4. Right, we're back on Indulgence with Gordon Ramsay talking food and playing songs as well. So there's one interesting quote in this coffee table book that you've got out at the moment, where you're talking about, if you've worked bloody hard to get your 3 stars, you missed the 3 stars, and if you lost one, it'd be a nightmare, but then you'd have to work even harder to get it back again. Yeah. What is it about, and why are there only 3 stars?
Yeah.
Can you get 4? Or is three is it? Is it?
Yeah, I mean, 3 now.
And why is it for you? What does that mean to you?
I suppose from an ex-footballing scenario, FA Cup medal is the dream for any footballer. Represent your country, winning the World Cup. Where cooking is, it's 3 stars. As an actor, it's an Oscar. You know, from a chef's point of view, it's 3 stars. One star's great, 2 stars phenomenal. 3 stars really put you on that sort of, you know, platform globally. So, you know, you've reached the top. And of course, when you get there, it's exciting, but staying there is even harder.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, from a chef's point of view, 3 stars in London, 3 stars in New York, and 3 stars in Paris. Then, from my point of view personally, I would have felt that I've achieved something, something huge. So it doesn't get any better than 3 stars, but it's keeping it. That's the exciting bit. That's where you've really got to constantly work at it.
How do you get them? What makes a restaurant worth 3 stars?
And 3 stars is all about consistency, Neil. Right. That level of attention to detail, and the restaurant being individual. Not mainstream, not pompous, not 2,000 bins on the wine list, not an arrogant service, but just that level of excitement in terms of delivery and flavour. And when you think, if we go out for lunch or dinner, you know, tomorrow, it's always the flavour that holds the memory. It's not how things look. Yeah, sure, it's got to be executed properly, but it's that level of attention to detail in flavour, and that's what 3 Star is all about, real proper flavour.
And so one star would be... What's the difference between 1 star and 3 star?
Yeah, the difference between
you hear about it on TV all the time, on your TV shows, and you kind of go, well, you know, 1 star is pretty bloody good, isn't it?
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
What would make that difference?
There's not many big restaurants with 3 stars anywhere in the world, because we've got 40 seats. So the level of consistency each and every day is the same.
Yeah.
So there's no difference. We don't climb on a Wednesday night because we get busy. You know, it's the same Monday to Friday. And 3 stars deliver that level of perfection on everything, from picking up the telephone to the way they give you the bill, to the attention to detail with the food, without becoming pompous and claustrophobic. So 3 stars, all about detail and consistency.
OK. Well, let's play another song. Rod Stewart, Maggie May. Good Scottish boy.
Yeah.
Good Scottish boy from Essex.
Yeah, no, it's nice. I mean, I think he's an absolute, you know, star. I had to present an award to him, the Nordic Robins Award, this year. And look at what he's done in terms of albums, millions across the world. One of Mum's heroes. And then when he comes for dinner, it always fascinates me, because you think, wow, Rod Stewart, yeah, great. And look, and he's always there with his family entertaining. But then he goes for an £18 bottle of wine. A true Scot.
Yeah, exactly.
Always flicks the wine list to the back page where the bin ends. Keep it under 20 quid, will you? So it's great. So, I love him. And his music's legendary.
Is that, though, because he doesn't know his wines that well and it'd be a waste of him? I don't know. I mean, because he can clearly afford it.
Yeah, he can afford it. But then, you know, it's, you know, I suppose...
And clearly there are no bad wines on your menu at all.
No,
clearly.
There's definitely not. But 18 quid, come on. I mean, no, he's not exactly short of money. So you think, at least push it up to 40, 50 quid, Rod, and, you know, indulge. And let me show you what it's like outside of a Chardonnay and the Napa Valley. Come on.
Do you have a nice Petrus on your
Several. Absolutely several.
They are ridiculous, aren't they?
They are.
Well, let's play Rod Stewart and Maggie May. It's Magic's The Indulgence of Gordon Ramsay tonight. And then that comes out into America. Ah, we'll talk about America. Right, America from Razorlight on the Indulgence at Magic 105.4. Gordon Ramsay is our guest tonight, talking food, talking songs. Now, actually, before we actually came on the radio, you were talking about how you'd had a lovely time riding up the coast, the Pacific Coast Highway on your bike. America plays an important part in your life now, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's a tough market to crack. New York was the most difficult opening so far. We invested $10 million. It was an absolute nightmare for the first 3 months. Had every goddamn food critic on my back.
Yep.
And
Is that why it was a nightmare? Because of the critics, or there are other reasons that made it hard?
Yeah, we had to work closely with the unions and get up to speed with, you know, their importance, which we never underestimated. But it was just a real tough nut to crack in a way that sleepless nights. I was backwards forwards on the red eye every week. Five nights a week in New York, two nights a week in the UK, and it was just 7 days a week for 3 months, and it was something that I was never going to come back to the UK with my tail between my legs and say, look, it didn't quite work out. So, you know, last month winning 2 Michelin stars and going straight to 2 stars within 10 months, we're on 800 calls a day, the place is fully booked for 2 months in advance. On the back of the caning I took, I couldn't have thought of a more fitting record with Trouble in America, because every time I had a really bad review, I just hit the button on the CD with Razorlight, and it just like, right, I'm in the situation. I'm under immense pressure. I've got to dig deep. I've got to constantly motivate the staff. We can't pay attention to the negativity because it's personal. And unfortunately, they judge my persona over what was being put on the plate. Yeah. And because of the success of Kitchen Nightmares and Hell's Kitchen out there, it was like I was a target before the restaurant opened.
Right.
So when the restaurant opened, I got absolutely panned. But look what's happened now. Number one in the Zagat Guide, 2 Michelin stars within the first 10 months. And it's turned a huge corner, and the place is doing phenomenally well.
So is that just the green-eyed monster from the Americans? Because they are quite funny about sort of other people coming over to their country and sort of doing well.
Yeah.
Although the American dream is clearly anyone can do well in our country.
Yeah.
They sometimes don't like it when foreigners come over, do they?
No, you're absolutely right. And I think more than anything, Neil, they wanted to discover you as opposed to confirm you. And there's a big difference in their mind. And Manhattan's such a fickle, difficult market. And, you know, they are very, very choosy. But what upset me more than anything is that throughout all the reviews, it was more of a sort of personal dig as opposed to professional dig. Listen, chefs are delicate individuals that hate being criticised when their food is under-seasoned or over-seasoned. But I knew what we delivered. Mm. And then I knew how much pomposity was going on behind the scenes. And because I didn't open the door up and say, look, come and eat as my guest, and, you know, you can all come and take advantage of, you know, our wine stock. You know, I closed the shutters and just, you know, hid in the kitchen. But, you know, they gave me a tough time, which, you know, we've come out of.
Because the TV series became really successful over there as well.
Yeah, that was huge, and that went down very well. And Kitchen Nightmares is something I really enjoy doing. And Hell's Kitchen was a competition for talented chefs that, unlike this country, it's not celebrities. You know, it's, you know, real chefs. Mm. So there's $1 million and a restaurant to give away. And so I think there was a bit of a backlash because they thought, well, you can't just come over here and give that away to a young American chef because they don't deserve it. You've got to go through those ranks of the Culinary Institute of America. You've got to go through all the New York Times. You've got to make sure that you grace the James Beard Foundation. And you've got to, you can't just jump to it. And it was almost like Idol, you know, Chef Idol. And they didn't really... They didn't enjoy that. But in terms of ratings and how successful it was brilliant. But then I had a backlash from the press. But you weather it, don't you? It thickens your skin and it makes you stronger. And it is true to the day. If you can make it in New York, you can make it anywhere.
Because your skin must be pretty thick.
Oh, trust me.
But I think you've always been up for a bit of a fight, clearly, from day one, haven't you?
Tougher than a rhinoceros, I swear to God. And talk about battering. I mean, I took it big time. There you are thinking, right, all the money we're earning in the States is going into the restaurants, and we're investing from this country over there as well at the same time. You're thinking, God, if this doesn't work, you know, it's not about the failure. It's about the amount of money we've lost as well at the same time. So it was a huge worry. And it was sleepless nights, and I can't think of a more fitting record than Razorlight, because for the rest of my life, I'll never, ever forget that song.
Well, that's also one of your other choices, Bee Gees and Night Fever, which is, you have to just, it's purely New York and it's Studio 54. It's that whole time, that madness of Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah.
What does that record do for you?
That was, unfortunately, my first ever dance with a girl called Trisha Inge, and her father was like this sort of rich dude in Stratford-on-Avon where we grew up, and he ran this car showroom. And it was just, you know, an amazing dance. I've got size 15 feet, Neil, so as you can imagine, honestly, the twins used to sleep in my trainers. So I was like standing on her toe, she was complaining, then 3 days later she showed me her little toe was black because I stood on it. And, you know, I must have looked somewhat special, all for the wrong reasons, because I can't dance to save my life. I'd love to learn how to dance properly, but with size 15 feet, I don't think I've got much chance.
So you're never going to be on Strictly Come Dancing, are you?
God, I mean... I mean, I don't think they make shoes big enough for me to dance in, size 15. And they're wide as well. So Tana's never complained, but, you know, it's something that, I don't know, my feet are really clumsy.
I'm amazed your feet are so big. When you're a bigger football player, I would have thought that'd be a real problem.
You know, on the back of having big feet, my toes are hammer toes. They're all sort of bending around the corner. I mean, nice. It's gross. Tana hates them. However, you know, in my footballing days, the secret then, of course, was to sneak into boots two sizes, you know, smaller. So it fit like a glove. So I used to sit there endlessly on Friday nights with my feet and these Adidas boots and stretching the leather, trying to get into these boots. And, you know, I'm suffering now because my toes are bending around the corner, and it's really weird because every time I go to buy Jack a pair of football boots now, I say, look, mate, you know, we'll get them half a size bigger, not two sizes down.
Yeah.
So he said, they feel a little bit loose. Said, put two pairs of socks on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Is that not just because you want his feet to grow into them? It's the Scott coming out in you,
I know.
Oh, dear. Well, look, it's the indulgence here of Gordon Ramsay. It's Magic 105.4. We'll be back in just a moment. Right, Gordon Ramsay is our special guest tonight on Magic. We'll get straight into another song. Gone for Snow Patrol's Chasing Cars.
Yeah. Chefs are speed freaks, okay, and we're...
Well, all of them?
Yeah, well, not all of them.
Are they? Well, yeah. Even Ainsley Harrier. Anthony Worrell Thompson, your friend. Is he a speed freak?
I don't think he can touch the pedals, can he? And he's got special shoes, I'm not too sure, but I don't think he's a bit of a speed freak. No, I'm sure not. We need that adrenaline rush, okay. Whether it's on the bike or whether it's on the car, and... you know, speed is exciting. I was very lucky this year to fly in the F3 Tornado from RAF Lucas up in Edinburgh, and we had the most amazing flight. Now, I've gone very fast in a car, a Bugatti, 211 miles an hour once, but I travelled at 950 mile an hour.
How was it?
Oh, it was extraordinary. Yeah, I mean, it was amazing. I had a sick bag on each knee. We veered left. The sick bag came out of the left knee. Veered right. Yeah, another sick bag on the right knee. So... I came out of that jet and I honestly felt like I was just coming out of an anaesthetic. And we went from Edinburgh to Newquay in something like 17 minutes, which was extraordinary. Yeah. So when you're stuck on the M1, the M6 next time, you're thinking, damn, if I only had an F3 Tornado now, I'd be there in no time.
Oh, yeah, but where could I land it?
And you didn't realise how fast you were going until you were hovering over the clouds and going like 250 miles an hour. And then they'd say, right, ready? And the wings would sort of... taper in, you hear them clunk, 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 and all of a sudden this thing goes vroom, straight off, and it was loop the loop, and then right, we've gone through the sound barrier, we're now at 750 mile an hour, 850 mile an hour, 950 mile an hour. I'm thinking, God, and all of a sudden it's like, and there's like retching everywhere, honestly.
Jeez.
And these guys did it for a living, and the idea was, you know, they had to be airborne within 8 minutes because it was the sort of whole British defence mechanism. They weren't eating properly, so. I taught them two or three recipes how to cook fast for themselves and fly instantly because they had the most horrendous eating habits because they're always on call. And they said, well, look, you taught us how to cook fast and brilliantly. I'm going to show you what it's like now to travel twice the speed of sound. Get up there. Oh, God.
So what do they eat?
Well,
what do they eat now?
Yeah, now it's really amazing pasta salads, a lot of soups, and not necessarily hot soup, but chilled soup. You know, like the most amazing chilled leek and potato soup, a chilled gazpacho, a pepper gazpacho, and all this stuff is ready now. Even a chilled tomato soup is delicious as well. So they've got these amazing soups, and you know they can have them in a flask and actually take them on board with them and eat properly without having to think that they're neglecting their diet because of defending the country.
Right, Snow Patrol and Chasing Cars. It's Magic 105.4. One of your final choices that we'll play shortly is Bright Side of the Road by Van Morrison.
Yeah.
Which, is that your all-time favourite song?
Yeah, I mean, there's something quite rewarding in that song. You know, as a chef, you know, you're only as good as your last meal. And, you know, we go through a lot of problems in the kitchen. And my job is to spot 20 of them every day. And if we stop those 20 small problems, it doesn't become a big problem at the end of the night. Mm. So one thing I've always learned as a chef is never to take customers for granted. But very few chefs today, Neil, ever put themselves in a customer's perspective. They always cook for chefs. Chefs want to cook for chefs. And they're a nightmare to cook for because they turn the crockery upside down. Where's that from? Where's this from? They start taking pictures of the food before they start eating it. They dissect it like they're in the biology lesson at school where they, you know, first got to cut open their rat. And they're like dissecting all this food as opposed to eating it. So I force my chefs, the minute they arrive in my kitchen, right, first week, tough week, get changed, you're going out in the restaurant for dinner. And they sit there and they see what it's like from a customer's point of view. Mm. Very few chefs get to understand the importance of the customer's perspective. So that's why the chef tables in all the kitchens have been so successful, because it's improved the chef's level of communication, their social skills, and they haven't they haven't intimidated the customer. And that's something we've been focusing on for the last 5 years.
Right.
So I think of all that on the back of a day's work in a kitchen. I think of the lines on my face. I think of 21 years of cooking, and I can't think of a better record to sit and properly relax to Van Morrison.
Okay. Well, it's interesting. You see cooking, or you say when you get to a restaurant, it's very much like you're doing a show every day, but sort of unscripted.
Yeah.
You know, obviously your star father cast, and
yep.
you know, and you've got your
yep.
customers, your audience,
absolutely.
Obviously. And you're, do you feel you are having to perform to them? I mean, particularly now, because you are a superstar and inverted commas chef, do you feel there are real expectations of you? You're meant to be the showman. If you didn't go out there and swear, they'd find it a bit sad. Do you know? God, it was really nicely spoken. I can't believe it. What's wrong with the man?
No, it's really weird. You know, I was at the petrol station recently and I went over to help a lady who's on crutches coming out of her car. And when I went over to grab the door, she went, "Oh, it's you." I said, "No, I'm only trying to help you out. What's the matter?" She said, "Well, it's you off the telly." I said, "No, you know, come on, I'm trying to help you out the door." And it's the same with customers when you see them in the dining room. I said, "Everything okay?" It's very quiet in the kitchen. "Everything okay?" I said, "Yeah, it's going perfectly well." We don't have problems in my kitchens personally every day. So the secret is to stop the problems in the kitchen and make sure they don't cross that line. So, I have two sides. You know, there's a self-confessed perfectionist that's an absolute nutter. And then there's another man that has to be charming and turn it on for the customers and someone that's excited about food to make sure their evening has been a joy. I'm glad it's yours, not mine. So I've got two sides. The side that is a self-confessed perfectionist that's absolutely adamant the fact there's going to be a perfect service in the kitchen. And then the second part of me is to make sure the customers leave and book another table before they leave and they don't stop talking about it for the next 48 hours.
Now, just before we go, where's this all going to end for you? Where do you mm-hmm. want to go next? Because, you know, you've done so amazingly well. The business is enormous, as well as being respected as a chef, which is obviously probably the most important thing.
Yeah.
Probably the most important thing for you, isn't it, to be respected as a great chef?
Yeah.
And then the business side of it comes probably secondary, I would have thought, in many respects.
Yeah.
How far can you go? What do you want to do?
Yes. Do you know what, Neil? Personally, there's no script. What I will say is that if we can constantly push and generate that level of interest in terms of talent and use, places like Gordon Ramsay at Royal Hossett Road has a stable to produce talent. There's a young girl in there now that's my right-hand man, head chef, and she's 29 years of age. She ran away from home at the age of 16 to start cooking. She's amazing. She's been with me for 5 years. I sent her off to France for 2 years to train. She's come back
now. Is this the one whose name you won't say?
Yeah, no, it's Claire Smith. It's out now. Everyone's been trying to get hold of her. But it's hilarious because they think, well, you know, he's scared of making it. I'm not scared about losing her. I will set her up in business one day and give her own restaurant like we did with Angela. So, you know, it's really weird because behind her, there's Gemma, who's going to be the new chef at Foxtrot Oscar. Then there's Ange, an amazing South African girl who's off to Amsterdam. So, you know, there's no script. Am I close to retirement? What, 41?
Yeah.
What am I going to do? Become a DJ?
No.
Yeah. I can't sit down for a living.
Can you ever imagine yourself? Or can you ever imagine not doing this? I mean, I can't really imagine you retiring.
Yeah, and Neil, I mean,
you love it, don't you?
Yeah, it's in my blood. And, you know, can you imagine Tana thinking, oh my God, he's going to be at home 7 nights a week? You know, the fact that we're still married is the fact that, you know, I'm only there 2 nights a week and we see little of each other, but the time we do spend is quality time. And I think every, you know, kid grew up with their mum and dad working, and it's no different for our children. They see us working. Why do we go out to work? Because they know we've got to go and buy things for their school, they've got to go and get their shoes, and so they understand why we go to work. And strip me from my work, trust me, I'd rather become vegetarian.
A great way to win. Right, thank you very much. Look, it's been lovely chatting. And do you know what is amazing? And this is quite incredible because my producer, Jamie, is sitting here. You haven't sworn once, have you? That is, it's incredible. How do you feel? Do you feel like, you know, a new man? You're a new age man, aren't you, really?
Yeah, I know. But
get the lentils inside you. Look at you.
I was slightly nervous about the fucking pink T-shirt you had on when I came in.
I thought you'd mention that. Like, I managed it right at the end, but very good to see you, and happy Christmas. I know it's a bit premature. Do you cook on Christmas Day?
Mate, it's a busman's holiday. Yeah. Claridge's, Christmas Day morning, and the kids come in with me, say hello to the guests. We have breakfast with the staff. We cook lunch there, get back home 3:30, and it goes all over again. So, Christmas for me is an absolute nightmare because come what may, by the end of the year, 31st of December, I do not ever want to see a fucking turkey for the next 364 days of the year.
One tip for Christmas for anyone listening now, what's the best tip for a great Christmas lunch?
Yeah. The secret behind a good Christmas lunch is delegation. Yeah, make sure that you get the veg prep the night before and don't eat lunch too early. Stretch it out where it becomes a later lunch and make sure that you just get yourself a little bit of a time plan. 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, and make sure that you offload responsibilities and don't put yourself under pressure by trying to do too much, because honestly, nobody eats it all. So relax, cut down on the portions and have a later lunch. Therefore, you only have to cook once rather than thinking about Christmas dinner 4 hours later, 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. We eat at 4, 5 o'clock in the evening, and that's it. It's done for the day, rather than trying to eat twice on such an amazing day.
Right, thank you very much indeed. Now, if you want to hear the full unedited version of this interview, you can. Tomorrow it'll be uploaded onto our website at magic.co.uk. Just go to /podcast and you can download the entire unedited version of this. But for now, thank you very much indeed.
Good
I will
see
be
you.
Back breakfast tomorrow morning at 5:30, just the time when Gordon's probably been into his restaurant for a couple of hours already, peeling the potatoes. Actually, you do listen on the way in, don't you?
I do.
Ridiculously
every morning.
Early.
I text you.
God, I know you do. It's ridiculous.
But I'm going to stop now you wear pink to work.
It's my guilty pleasure. It's the nice thing about radio, and leave me, it's fine. But that's superb. Now, hang on. I won't be back at breakfast because the chances are I won't be. Why?
Well, because the likelihood is...
Am I being sacked?
Okay. Go out on the 30th of December.
Oh, blimey. Okay, right, okay. Well, then I won't be back tomorrow morning. I'll be having a frigging good lie-in. Fantastic.
Nice.
Right, have a very happy new year and we'll see you in 2008.
Can't wait.
Yeah,
excellent.
Right, just before you run away...
Yeah.
Nice.
Is there any chance we can get a few drops from you?
Yeah, of course. No, of course. Thank you, Neil.
No, thank you very much. That was good.
I tell you what, it's funny you mentioned about Rod Stewart, because I've just finished reading Piers Morgan's book, and he said he went to a party there once, and he swears he served dairy leaf slices as a starter.
Serious. Hilarious. Hey, this is Gordon Ramsay, and you're a fan. And if you're a fan of this song, then listen out for more of it. Yeah, my indulgence show this Sunday night at 7. So this is going out on the 30th of December.
The likelihood is, yeah, we're not sure. We're going to try and bring it forward.
Yeah, okay, brilliant. Hi, this is Gordon Ramsay, Magic, but it's not me. Hi, this is Gordon Ramsay on Magic, and it's not a fucking mystery voice, all right? I'm not a mystery voice. I always get asked, you know, everyone's saying, is that you on that mystery voice? Tyler's schoolmates. Hi, this is Gordon Ramsay. And you're listening to More Music and Breakfast Show with Neil Fox, yep. Hi, this is Gordon Ramsay, I'd like to know. What was the name of the question? I only grow to square. Good. And the answer is good. Are you running competitions?
Yeah, there'll be users
again. I'd like to know what was the name of mortography. Yeah. Is it Gordon Ramsay? That's a good question. Humble pie, still available. Good. Hi, this is Gordon Ramsay. Once more. This one is for the fans of the iPod show. In the series, what name do I give to pigs? I was fattening to be slaughtered. Yeah, and Kim and I ain't got Jordan Peter. I wish it was Jordan and Peter. Trinity Zeller. Yeah. Okay, great. Okay, great. Hi, I'm Gordon Ramsay, Heart Radio. Heart Radio?
Heat Radio.
Oh, Heat Radio. Christ. Who's Heat?
You know the magazine, Heat.
Okay,
there's
right.
now a radio station for
okay.
it.
Okay.
If we haven't got time to do those,
yeah.
don't worry about
yeah,
it.
Fine.
They just asked me there to play them.
That's fine, don't worry. Ready?
Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Gordon Ramsay, and if you're a fan of this song, then listen out for more like it in my indulgence show this Sunday night at 7, only on Magic 105.4. Hi, this is Gordon Ramsay on Magic 105.4, but it's not me. Hi, this is Gordon Ramsay on Magic, and I'm not a fucking mystery voice, okay? Hi, this is Gordon Ramsay, and you're listening to more... Bollocks, fuck that one up. Hi, this is Gordon Ramsay, and you're listening to More Music Breakfast Show with Neil Fox. Yeah? One more?
Yeah.
Hi, this is Gordon Ramsay, and I'd like to know, what is the name of my... Fucking hello. Hi, this is Gordon Ramsay, and I'd like to know, what is the name of the restaurant I own in Grosvenor Square? Is it A, Mays, B, Banquet, C, Petrus, or D, La Noisette? And the answer is A, Mays. Hi, Gordon Ramsay again, and this time I'd like you to tell me. Oh, bollocks, here we go. Hi, this is Gordon Ramsay. Hi, Gordon Ramsay again, and... Oh, fuck me, what's going on? Jesus Christ almighty, hello.
Probably my script writing.
Yeah. Hi, Gordon Ramsay again, and this time I'd like you to tell me, what is the name of my autobiography? Is it A, Gordon Ramsay, B, the F word, C, Humble Pie, or D, Ramsay's Nightmare? And the answer, of course, C, Humble Pie. Oh, fire. Is it? Hi, this is Gordon Ramsay once more. OK, this one's for the fan of my F-word show. Fans, here we go. Hi, this is Gordon Ramsay once more. OK, this one's for fans of my F-word show. In the series, what names did I give to the pigs I was fattening to be slaughtered? A, Anton Deck, B, Kim and Aggie, C, Jordan and Peter, or D, Trini and Susanna? And the answer is yes. It was that skinny mini and that voluptuous backside, Trini and Susanna. We can get away with that, can't we?
Yeah.
Here we go, and...
Oh, actually, just before we go, mm-hmm. Can you do a quick Christmas greeting?
Oh, of course,
say,
yeah.
Say hello to... this is Gordon Ramsay wishing everybody a very Merry Christmas.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Hello, this is Gordon Ramsay, and wishing everyone on Magic a very, very Merry Christmas. Yep.
Yeah, and then
you've got to... Okay. Hi, I'm Gordon Ramsay on Heat Radio. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. From the Heat Towers kitchen, I'm Gordon Ramsay on Heat Radio. It's Gordon Ramsay here on Christmas Day, locked in the kitchen here at the Heat Tower. Fucking bell. It's Christmas Day on Heat Radio. I'm Gordon Ramsay, serving up my festive favourites for dinner on Heat Radio. It's Christmas on Heat Radio. I'm Gordon Ramsay, just hanging out under the mistletoe here at Heat Towers. Happy Christmas. It's Gordon Ramsay helping you through your Christmas kitchen nightmares on Heat Radio. I'm Gordon Ramsay helping you get stuffed this Christmas on Heat Radio. Now fuck off. Done? Are you happy with that?
Yes. don't worry about doing those because that's going to take forever.
Yep.
Can you just do the crackers?
Okay, what did the man get? Why did the man get the sack from the orange juice factory? Because he couldn't concentrate. Oh, fucking hell. What did the grape say when the elephant stepped in on it? Nothing. He just let out a little whine. Why did the turkey cross the road? Yeah, because he wasn't a chicken. Oh, my God. Hilarious, yeah? Ah, God. Why did the man get the sack from the orange juice factory? Because he couldn't concentrate, donut. Why did the grape... Oh, bollocks. What did the grape say when the elephant stepped on it? Nothing. He just let out a little whine. Why did the turkey cross the road? Because he wasn't a chicken. Oh, for fuck's sake. I can't believe you made me do them. Okay.
Cool.
Mate, good to see you, yes, as always.
Right,
lovely family,
contest.
Yes.
Grab a
cheers, buddy.
Photo
thank you once again.
Good to
see you.
Yeah.
And thanks again for all that stuff.
It's
all
right. It was going to raise a lot of money, didn't it?
No, brilliant as well. Absolutely brilliant. Yeah, can you get out of the pink?
Pink. It's shocking. I would never wear pink.
Yeah. Congratulations
indeed. Could you sign that for Great Ormond Street as well?
Absolute pleasure.
I'm not sure when's best to do it. Oh, actually, if you're going to do it on there, then let me give you a black pen.
Well, I can do it anywhere. I can do it on here.
I'll do it on there,
absolutely.
That'd be nice. Who's your favourite musical artist?
Oh, yeah, I have loads. You know that?
Do ours as well.
Of course.
I think as well. So you got to do Fern and... You're after this morning now, aren't you?
Oh, God.
Excited.
That'd be a good name for some pigs.
What's that?
Fern and Phil.
Fern and Phil.
There we go, mate.
Thank
Jack
you.
Jack Scarlett, Martha. Love Gordon.
Nice.
Oh. You're welcome.
Right.
Just anywhere?
Somewhere in there, yeah.
Who's your favourite? One just down the bottom.
Yeah.
Who's your favourite?
Fucking hell. Who should we go for? Coldplay?
Yeah, band.
Write it on there?
Yeah. Sign it and then
sign it to other people.
Yeah,
Coldplay.
Of course, yeah.
Going away after Christmas.
Thailand, mate.
Ooh, nice.
I know, 2 weeks. Can't fucking wait. Back out early on Monday. Fuck me.
You're
Listen, good to see you.
Your application for the Scotland job yet?
Christ, yeah. Fucking hell. I can't believe he's going to Birmingham. Huh?
Yeah, I know.
He'll be back up north by Christmas.
And now it looks like Paul Jules going to win there.
I know. And Mourinho.
Jose's going to run in.
I
don't know why I'm loitering around here, but actually.
You want to eat that, don't you?
Yeah.
Go on then.
Look, you want. I'll wait for Jamie to come back and see what he's doing since he paid for them. I've seen him before.
Adam, it's Neil Fox calling here. I'm good, thank you very much. How are you? You've got me down for lunch.